Welcome to the latest installment of Easy with Franz TV. It's been an extra week, 3 weeks, but we're back. We've got some interesting news. We've got a great deep dive and talk at the end on the long run. We'll come to that later. But as usual, we're going to hear from Richard in Nashville. It looks really sunny in Nashville, but I guess it's got a bit of a cold bite as well. Stockholm's -1. Been snowing a bit, but I'll fill us in on the latest weather reports in a bit. Richard, how are you?
I'm doing well, Damien. Thanks very much.
You're looking good. Looking smooth. Good. Okay, so you're looking happy, man. Can you tell us how your training has been over the last 3 weeks? What's been going on?
There's some good bits and there's bad bits. So today actually is a beautiful day. So the weather is already, you know, mid-February, getting a lot better for running. The sunlight still, you know, lacking, but the weather, the temperatures in the teens during the day.
Oh, super.
I've been running in shorts, long sleeve top. So anyway, it's been good for running, and I've managed to continue running with the group I meet with on a Wednesday and Saturday, most of those Wednesdays and Saturdays. But really, outside of that, I've done maybe two runs, they've not been brilliant. So I've run seven times in the last 3 weeks, Wednesday, okay, Saturday, and then some Mondays. The runs themselves have been typically like 4 to 6 miles, which is longer than I would like because they're still 10 minutes a mile and they're on the road with this group. That really beats me up. So what's happened is after I last met you, I had a few good runs, ran some 4 mile runs or so at like 9:30 pace. And it felt really good for them. But then I started getting, you know, a few, not niggles, but just aches and pains where I thought, I want to foam roll my back and look after my hips. So I started doing that. And because I would do it reasonably close to the run, so I'd spend like half an hour before a run doing it, you know, all the rejigging of my body made the runs pretty miserable.
Okay.
My hips, my glutes weren't working, so my calves got sore. The heels really felt terrible because of that. So a lot of my runs in the last week and a half have been lower heart rate, but only because my body is literally not working. It has to be done. I've been through this process before. And the runs themselves up towards 4 or 5 miles, you know, that's 40 to 50 minutes. They're a bit on the long side with this group, so I've had to cut a few short. So anyway, it's been a mixed bag because I'm pleased that I've done runs like this and some of them are really good, but I'm not quite keeping up with looking after my body, so that needs to be something I work on the next cycle. That's really it. My hip and my lower back have been really sore. But I see progress with that. It's just going to take a couple of weeks to filter into the running.
How's your Achilles?
Achilles is fine. The major hip problem I've had for a long time is the one that's still causing issues.
Okay.
Kind of that whole area. The only other thing that's come up that's been a bit worrying, actually, is my shin on the right side. Because I've had so many runs that have been longer than I would want on the ground that's really hard, I think my calf, shin, tibia, and anterior has just taken more of a beating with the old shin splint. So I've started working on that, and it seems to be, you know, helping.
Okay.
I've, unlike days when I was running a lot, I haven't got consecutive days of running, so there's enough opportunity to recover.
So you think, going forward, you'd want to try and get those rolling sort of mobility work done, not too close to run, so just time a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah, I switched to doing it the day before, so I ran yesterday morning. And I spent the evening foam rolling.
Yeah.
And in the morning, you know, I felt a lot better. Like, my body felt better. But the challenge is still that even if my body's moving better, after about a mile and a half, the muscles, my glutes particularly, my lower back, because they're working so differently, I still run into the fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
The runs still have to be a bit shorter. I'd be more interested in doing a run on the flat for 20, 25 minutes and running...
Yeah.
You know, for effort, high effort rather than running with the 6 miles at 10:30 pace, when really it would be better to just go for a hike sometimes.
Versus
the, I think it's a distinction between, I still know what training is and what's efficient use of time as an athlete versus just going out for a run. The group I'm running with, they're great to run with, but they're building up to a half marathon. And I would,
time on the feet.
The pace I'm running, I would never consider running a half marathon. My body's not in that place. So I think I'd just adjust what kind of speed I run and distance, and I'd end up probably doing half by myself, half of the group. I can't do it all with the group.
Yeah, makes sense.
Really, yeah, I mean, it's progress, but that's about it for me, really. I'm happy that I've managed to keep something together, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Small gains, good stuff. Okay, right.
How about you, Damien?
Yeah, I've made some progress in the last 3 weeks. So my issue with my soleus calf is better. I've managed four runs this week, three jogs last week. So that's, I started running last Monday, not this Monday, the Monday before. And it's
what's
been
a
okay.
Jog, Damien? Sorry to interrupt. Jog.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't put on too much weight, so it's 7:45 to 8 minute miling, about that.
Okay.
Yeah, and this week I've been, just by chance, also where I've been off road and on undulating routes. It's been around the same pace, but of course the effort is more, and I find that helps a bit more than that constant loading on a road on that sort of very the same surface that's flat. And you get the same points of contact. It seems to be better when I have a bit of uneven ground, hills, drops, and softer ground. The other thing is that my calf and my soleus are so, the strength, there wasn't much strength there. So, example, like I was trying to do, so you have the gym machine, I don't know what it's called, but the machine where you can load the calves, the soleus, whatever it's called, you sit there and put the pad on your knees, that machine. So I know 5 weeks ago, I could not load that. It was cramping after 10 reps. And now I'm doing three sets of 8 to 10 with 15 kilograms. So within 5 weeks, my calf, the straight knee calf raises are up to about 40 kilograms now from 25. That's just very slow. The progress is quite quick initially, I guess, if the strength wasn't there. But that's the real issue. That's a lot better. That seems to have meant that I've been able to run without any too many issues. So it's been running every other day. I've done a bit of skiing this weekend, which I forgot to mention that. Actually, I went skiing over Christmas, and I'm very much a novice. So I put on skis for the first time in December. And then I did 4 or 5 days of skiing, but I've been the last 2 days and I kind of got back into it. And that has been really it's been fantastic for the aerobic engine. So that aerobic engine, like my heart rate's up at around 135, 140 for an hour or so, which is quite hard to replicate in the gym. And it's basically just the loop that I was on is only about a mile, but it's quite technical and everything's new to me. So I'm constantly thinking of how to turn, how to go up, how to go down. So it's really good fun, but I'm very much a novice, but super way to just get a bit more training in. And hopefully when I'm more competent, I can definitely get the proper gains, going to go out for longer. But yeah, I mean, it's good. There are the added fall over a lot, and there's a lot of lateral movement. You know, the adductors and the abdominals take a beating because I'm just not used to that movement of trying to stabilize the trunk. Definitely weakens the mind. So, but I have decided, well, sadly, not to overreach and aim for any trying to run 26 miles in a couple of months. Whilst I could do it, it's not worth. I don't have to prove anything. So I've decided to just get fit And hopefully on the same day, I should be in England. I will go the same day, yeah, well, the middle of April, I'll go and try and do a 5K instead. So we're both potentially targeting a 5K. I think that's more sensible and something I could is realistic. It doesn't require, you know, big volumes of running. So it's good. It's good. I'm feeling more positive. I've got used to cross training in the gym. I've got in a good routine of going and just getting on with it. And the gym work I'm doing at least three times a week, which probably when I was running would be once a week max, just because didn't get in a proper routine. That's good. It's good.
So I guess I'm wondering, so the 5K, or at least not a marathon, but a shorter distance is going to be something to do in April. But have you thought further ahead than that? Does that fall into a broader plan for competition?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think it's actually more of a traditional, steady sort of increase in distance. So I'll aim to do a 5K around April. It might just be a park run. And then potentially 10K at the end of May on the track. And then it's the summer of trying to run 5Ks. Then hopefully it's December Valencia Marathon. So there's a kind of an 11-month plan, and that's more than enough time, you know, injuries permitting, to reach that goal. So that it's looking better.
Yeah, and then as for your calf, where do you feel it is now in terms of doing what you consider normal training load and in intensity?
Good question. So I think I mentioned this before. The issue, of course, the calf needs endurance, and that is gain. I mean, by running, of course, you can do stuff in the gym. The issue I think I've got as well is to make sure that I can put power through it. So I started starting to do plyometrics, just like drills, strides. I haven't really done that. So that is the next step, really, before thinking about doing any sessions. So just light strides, drills, plyometrics, making sure the strength is there. The strength is a lot better than it was. And then just being to do that first, and then some very sort of, you know, short reps, big recovery, just to get some turnover again. So no real focus on pace, just to run to feel and start doing stuff at around five, you know, under 5K sort of efforts, just sort of 30 seconds, something like that. So, you know, 10 by 30 is initial session without overreaching. So a big recovery. But I think what once I can get the strength, I'd like to, for example, be able to do the Soleil's raises. You know, sort of 15 is probably needs a bit more than that, maybe something like 30. Just you know, try and gradually build that up and then start to do drills without any issues. So I can hop now without any issues. That was a problem before. So that's a sign that I think it's mainly scar tissue now. So yeah, drill, stride, and then think about really just get through. I'd like to get through a month of just running, and not training as such, but just running. And then I think that gives me a good idea of what I can do. And then just build from there.
Okay. So that's like in 10 weeks to have about 4 weeks of running and then do something specific.
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah. But
have you done any
Got it.
Just following up, I was going to say, have you done any soft tissue work on it, like foam rolling or massage?
Yeah.
So you mentioned the scar tissue.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So I think, as I said initially, it's maybe in the acute phase I was doing too much. So I have been doing some, but I'm mindful of that. I don't do a lot of it normally. So it's kind of, I'm doing it not every night, but most nights just a little bit. So little and often rather than very aggressive stuff, so just to keep on top of it. And there seems to be more fluidity through the muscle. I'm doing a bit more just, you know, shorter, not long stretching, but just sort of, you know, 5-10 second holes, which trying to do that sort of where you stretch, what's it called? Where you stretch and activate the muscle and then stretch again. There is a term.
Oh yeah, I remember those.
PFP
really good.
Or something. PFP or something, or it's, yeah.
Whatever it's called, I know it helps me or helps.
Yeah,
me
it takes a bit of patience, and you do have to make sure. Yeah, but that's something I do. It seems to work quite well. So, yeah, it's looking good. But right, we're going to go on to now the deep diving tool, and this is the long run. And I guess we've got to try and keep this concise. We could talk about this for hours, we could, but we're going to try and keep it as concise as possible. So I'm going to start off, and of course Richard will come in with his wisdom and his experience as well. So the long run traditionally is used, and there is a lot of information out there. It's there to develop your endurance and primarily develop your fat burning. And long run is used differently for depending on the event you're doing. So one would say that for a marathon runner, it is once the athlete's fit enough, it is the key component of their training, something which they would extend depending on their ability to be able to cope with the pace and also the distance of the event. But looking at how 5K, 10K marathon, they're not worlds apart in terms of their energy demands. So they're both 5 to 10K to half marathon to marathon. They're all predominantly aerobic events, and they require the ability to be able to run for periods of time, to have good endurance. And the long run is something that facilitates that. Now, there are some athletes that maybe look at the long run as something that they have to do weekly. And I know many athletes like that, and I fell into that trap. And we're going to discuss how often do you have to do the long run? What is its importance? We can start with a 5K, Richard. So with a 5K, where do we think the long run fits in? And of course, this could be dependent on the time of year. In season, pre-season, during season. And you have mentioned something before, I think, in your when we had the full-length episode of the feature-length episode with Richard. So the long-run training for the 5K, Richard, where do you think it comes in?
Okay, so I want to backtrack a little bit.
Yeah,
at least,
sure.
Define some stuff in my mind. And anything I may have said in the previous podcast, almost a year ago, I've probably completely forgotten. I have completely forgotten. So I may contradict myself.
I can remind you if you don't mention it, but yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks very much. So I guess when I think of just intuitively what I consider a long run, first of all, and how I would approach it, this is relevant for what we want to talk about, at least for the 5K. But I would look at it as anything more than an hour and 10 minutes, because I would routinely run an hour and 10 minutes during the week. So if it's beyond that, then I would say it's a long run. And really 90 minutes plus was really definitely a indisputable long run. And in terms of my volume, it would be 20 to 25%, which I think is standard stuff.
But absolutely,
that's nothing profound in the world of running. So that would be long run. I spend every single week during the winter and the summer doing a long run under those definitions. And whether I was doing cross country, 5K, 1500. I mean, usually I was doing 1500 when I was injured, so I was not even running that much in the first place. So it's a bit of a atypical case. But I think, there's a lot of value in the long run as you are developing as an athlete.
Mm,
so as a teenager, up until I was about 20, I couldn't care less if it was the 5K or the 10K or the 800. It was a piece of the training kind of repertoire that made me into a broadly more competent athlete. It was only probably when I had much more cycles of training and periodization that I was aware of. I know it happened when I was younger, but I didn't know what I was doing. Somebody else was helping me. In which case, in the winter, the long run is just, increase every year. I mean, I think I got up to about 2 hours, but I was still doing the 5K. So I've had years during the 5K where my long run was 80 minutes or, an hour 40, 2 hours plus. And in the winter, it didn't matter what I was running in the summer. So I would distinguish that. But when it was coming to 5K race season, it was a whole different kind of fish. if I tried to consistently run 90 minutes with the intensity I was doing during the week, I could sometimes manage it, but I don't think it was the most effective way to apply that long run. I mean, I was doing it every weekend, and remember when Bruce was coaching me, he said, just do an hour and 10, and if you really want to, break it up and do 2 40-minute runs and don't worry about the long run.
That's what you
run
said.
The intense work.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, that's it. I knew you'd mention it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. But it was something that I learned, or something that I was introduced to.
Yeah.
Very late into my running.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to really appreciate it. So I think there's a couple things going on. One is the athlete who is still trying to progress their training.
Yeah.
Over, you know, how they, you know, age and find their space, what athlete events they want to do, that kind of thing. And then it's once you are choosing to do a certain thing, yeah, it does matter.
Mm.
And I distinctly remember there was a bit of a flashpoint. So above an hour and 40 minutes for a long run, I got really tired. I got hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I think since I've talked to athletes as a coach, I've realized that nutrition is something that is overlooked.
Mm.
And the long run can really expose that. And it can expose it, but not be recognized as the reason you were so tired on the Tuesday is because you didn't eat enough food afterwards or in preparation for your long run. And it just took too long to, you know, bring back whatever glycogen stores you needed.
Mm.
That's a thing where, yeah, it's another aspect.
Yeah, I just wanted to add the point about, I think you, once you're an experienced athlete, you get to the stage where you know how, not necessarily how many long runs you do, but where in the season you need to, you maybe don't need to do as many long runs, or you can bring your long runs down. So example is, as you said, you could do a double day. You could do a run in the morning, say 60 minutes in the morning, 30 in the evening. You could just do a long, like a longer run, say 90 minutes every 2 weeks. Even if you're racing, you do it when there aren't as many races. So it's a sort of a mini training, like mesocycle. So you can see it doesn't affect any races coming up. But again, I think especially when you get more experience, we can come on to this. This may be a gateway into what we could talk about, is then you can start to play around with the intensity of the long run. Where you don't necessarily need to go progressing up to 2 hours, but you can play around with the intensity.
Yeah, a couple of things I want to mention there. And I've seen this play out in athletes as a coach. You have your race on the Saturday, and if you want to go out to do the hour and 30 minutes on a Sunday, you split it up. You do half an hour in the morning, and then you run in the afternoon.
Mm.
And I've seen a lot of athletes who've not done long runs that often, they struggle with doing the long run on the Sunday because of the nature of where the races naturally fall, at least in the UK. So that's one thing. And then the other part of it is where I think when you move into half marathon, marathon, the long run is a session and can be quite easily modified into your long session. And then that's the thing you do at the weekend. So I've seen that play out very, very well, because the psychological aspect of, oh, wow, if you look at 3x3 miles, let's say for half marathon work, with a warm up and a warm down, that's already about 13 miles, 14 miles, right? So then you're thinking, well, if your long run is more than that already, great. You can psychologically see the longest thing is not your session. But after that sort of addressed psychologically, you could make your long run into the session and then you move on.
I think the way one could look at it is that you get to a point where you can run for 90, 1 hour 45 without any issues, regardless of the pace. And then as you approach we're talking maybe more half marathon, marathon there, then you start to bring the intensity down. So the intensity, ideally your goal pace or what you're aiming for, but you try to, it becomes more of a session, it becomes harder. And as you said, it's the recovery either side of those is actually really important to prepare. So make sure you go into it not, of course there is an element of fatigue, but you go into it not too fatigued, but also allow the recovery after it. Otherwise, because often there will be another session as such in the middle of the week, which would be something where you're aiming for something faster than marathon or half marathon pace. So it's positioning it and also appreciating, especially if we're talking about the non-elite runners here who don't have the time to don't have the recovery time. So you have to just really, really strategically place them and strategically place the recovery post and pre.
I wanted to, one thing you said just made a thought pop into my head about how did I approach a long run, particularly when I was younger and I was trying to implement a long run. So I think that's a big step for all athletes, understanding how it feels to go through the long run regularly and balance that with all the other training sessions where you may well be tired. So to begin, my approach to a long run was it was an extended steady run.
Absolutely.
So steady runs are brisk, and not everyone has this perspective, but when I was growing up, especially, it was, okay, I usually do 45 minutes on a Monday. I usually do 50 minutes or something on a Wednesday. When on a Sunday, I just do the same thing, but for an hour and 15. So that was usually quite demanding. And I know we ran together during that time at Harrow. And some of those runs, when I look back and when I realized what my heart rate was, because for short times I had that, I was tempo running by the end. Those are very, very intense long runs. But if you listen to other people talk about the long run, particularly if they're experienced athletes who are in the middle of a serious track season, they will say the long run is very slow and easy. So long run is an abstract idea we all understand, but the application is very different. And as I got older and more experienced, and I was carrying much more volume across the week, the long run did change. Those two-hour long runs, they were 6:30 to 7 minute pace. They weren't eyeballs down the canal, trying to run it in under 6 minute pace to chase whoever else. I couldn't sustain that. So there's an evolution that happens with everybody, but especially when I was thinking about, when I think about how you introduce it, if you haven't yet started, the last 15 minutes is always hard. But if you've got a long run in the context of what you're doing during the week, you can say, okay, I usually do 45 minutes. So if you do an hour, those last 15 minutes can be the hard 15 minutes.
Harder.
If you go to an hour, you can kind of contextualize when you think the long run, where you think the long run would be, and that changes everybody. But there's a lot of feeling involved.
I think the one thing that I always found in the long run, and being a relative newcomer to the marathon, was this fear of running longer than you've ever run before on a regular basis. And it's probably, it's hard to give a percentage, but it's as much in the mind as it is physiologically. If you prepare yourself mentally to, right, I'm going to be doing this succession of longer runs, and it's concentration a lot of it. So I was getting bored a lot of the times. That was a problem with long runs. I just got bored because they were quite sedate. I didn't particularly enjoy them a lot of the time, so I was doing them on my own. But then doing harder, longer runs, that there isn't, you're concentrating on pushing yourself. It's kind of that you're not on the edge, but you are just having, you can't get bored because you have to push. You just got to keep going. So it's just, I think that is also, especially when you're younger, like going from 45 to 60 to 75, it seems like a big leap, but it's quite a lot of it is mental. And,
I'm fascinated by this because I have a very different experience to you. I love the long run. I wonder how you mitigate the boredom, first of all. And I've got a few things to say.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm being a bit unfair in the long run, and that, so I love long runs if I'm in a group, number one. Number two, I love long runs if they're off-road and scenic. The problem I have in Stockholm is there isn't as much locally to me too. So maybe I'm thinking more recently, but I have a love-hate relationship with them. Let's put it that way.
Okay, because I think I was very lucky. I was privileged to have a fantastic place to run growing up, and also at university. So I really look forward to doing a long loop going all around Oxford or all around Castlebury Park and not repeating anything. So I look forward to that because I could get further, I could see more. And it, I was actually quite happy doing it by myself. I don't know, I found a lot of, I was actually very happy running by myself. I appreciate running in groups too, but I don't think I suffered there. But yeah, the long run, being fit enough to do a solid hour and a half plus through mud, up and down hills.
That's
something I genuinely miss. But to the boredom piece, you know, or not boredom, but concentration at least. Now that I'm trying to get back to running from a level I've never realized I'd even reach, which is, you know, if I try and do an old long run of 15 miles, I won't be able to be out for that long. It's the it is hard to concentrate. One of the challenges is my body doesn't last that long anymore.
So I've
got a whole different set of constraints. It's not psychological anymore. It's I'm going to be, first of all, it's not enjoyable to run with the kind of pain and discomfort of just a body that doesn't do what you want it to do at all. I mean, it's fine being tired, but you know, it's a very different thing for me. So now I don't really think of a long run ever. A long run for me doesn't exist.
In the past, it's more.
So for now, I mean, not so long ago, since I've lived in the US, I have done our 30-hour, 40 runs, and you know, it's been good.
Okay, thanks, Richard. I think we've covered quite a wide range of events and gone through some interesting discussion on the long run. Hopefully, our listeners will find it useful to have a think about the purpose of the long run and whether there is a different way to do it, and often there is. Before we go, Richard, have you entered that 5K race in April?
No, I'll be very brief, but
okay.
It's not all bad. So I did go to the registration and got to the page where it asked me to pay $59 to enter a 5K. I don't know if I said this last time. I don't know if I did it before.
Yeah.
I'm just like, $59. It's $79 for the marathon. So anyway, obviously, you know, price per mile.
Come back to England, Richard, and do a 5K here.
I just do a park run every Saturday for free.
Yeah.
But then I found out this group has a discount code, so I can pay half. So I'll have to go and do that. I found that out yesterday morning, so I'm going to enter it. But it sounds so trivial, but I haven't entered.
But I understand. I do understand the value. I believe in the principle and the principle of not paying over X amount for an event, unless there is XYZ on offer or some, you know. I don't want the T-shirt and the medal, but, you know, whatever it might be. Okay, Richard, so I'm going to make sure you enter that event. And I don't have to enter park run. If I'm doing a park run, it'll be there. But look, we'll speak again, and hopefully we'll both keep making progress. And, we'll chat again soon. Great talking to you, Rich.
Thanks, Damien.
Pleasure.